What's the difference between Eddie's for JJ and corn rolls?
Erections. Erections. The answer is you don't have an erection.
And corn roll. And corn rolls.
What's a corn roll?
Like, you know how Kawhi has corn rolls?
Oh, corn rolls. Okay. What?
Corn rolls are tight.
Go away. Hi, everybody. Contestant Lamps, episode number 101. Thank you for joining us tonight.
What's going on?
NBA draft's happening while we're recording this. It's in the second round, so we're just going to get going.
But that's the best part.
I know.
It's still in the second round, even as we're recording this?
Yeah, it is like...
Jeez.
Like
15 or
something. Thank you for joining us tonight. Remember, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, and Facebook.
Don't forget to check us out on YouTube by searching Contested Layups episodes or full episodes and more.
And we got a slew of MFers in this podcast. We
special guest tonight. Hi.
Garnick's here. What's up, Garnick?
Buongiorno.
Raul.
OKC all day, let's go.
And the fresh teal hoodie V with that joke at the beginning.
Thank you.
That was a great joke, guy.
Decent joke.
You're so good at jokes.
We got John here in the hood. In the hood.
Yeah,
in a hoodie. In a Muay Thai hoodie. What's up, man?
What's up?
And then we got special guest.
Special
Tony
guest.
Oblak, a.k.a.
Oblak.
Let's go.
What up, help?
Yo, free Porzingis.
Free Porzingis. And it's your host, Eddie. So, the NBA draft just happened. 2019, number one overall pick, Zion Williamson to the New Orleans Pelicans. John Morant to the Memphis Grizzlies. RJ Barrett to the New York Knicks. That was pretty much predicted. And then things got crazy. A bunch of trades happened.
So much trade porn.
A couple of guys wearing the wrong hats.
A couple of guys wearing weird hats. The one major trade that happened earlier this week that we needed to discuss, the Los Angeles...
TJ Warren. What?
Yeah. Los Angeles Lakers acquiring Anthony Davis. We'll talk about that later in the episode. Let's start with the first overall pick, though. Zion Williamson going to New Orleans. What do you guys think, man? This his opportunity to become a franchise superstar in New Orleans, starting over. New Orleans made a ton of trades tonight. Let's start with Garnick. Go ahead, man.
I like what New Orleans is doing. I really like Zion, obviously.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought you had, like, sound issues.
No,
he's... I like what David Griffin is doing, really, because he's amassing a lot of young talent.
Mastermind.
Possibly, man. He's the disciple. You know, he didn't get as much credit as he deserved, arguably, in Cleveland just because LeBron was around, and everyone knows that if LeBron is around, Rich Paul is around, that means that they're basically running the team. He let him get away with a little too much. But this is his clean slate. He's getting a chance. He got lucky again in the lottery, like his fifth time. But good for him, I guess. You know, I can't hate on him. He's doing some big things. I like the first draft pick. I like the fact that they traded out of four as well. That kind of screws Lakers some more and kind of blocks that whole thing from possibly changing at all. But that's neither here nor there.
Right.
It's, you know, they have a chance to sign a free agent. I really do strongly think so in this West, the weakest West of the last 25 years.
What the New Orleans Pelicans did, by the way, they traded for the number four pick overall, that was the Lakers pick, and in the Anthony Davis trade, and then they traded that pick to the Atlanta Hawks for 8-17 and I think 38. They acquired a ton of draft capital for this draft and the Lakers future draft picks. Also, they acquired a ton of draft capital in that regard. John, what do you think about what New Orleans is doing?
Man, that's some evil genius shit right there.
Voodoo? Would you say it's voodoo?
It's like puppet master type stuff.
Yes.
Master of puppets?
Yes. Give me the three picks. Yes.
Definitely puppeteering.
Yeah. Yep.
But he could have had Cam at four, though. You know, I thought that was in play.
No, but he got two more first round picks. So.
Jackson Hayes is number 8 overall pick out of Texas. A big man from Texas.
His dad is an NFL coach. Yeah,
but man, Atlanta got way better because of that trade. They had the balls to pull that trade off, and they got their version of Iggy for Atlanta, and that's a good team.
Yep, yep. I think the Atlanta. I was thinking of this on when I was watching the draft. I think New Orleans got a lot better. Atlanta got a lot better. Memphis got a lot better in this draft. I think those three teams really found great pieces going forward for their roster. Raul, what do you think? What do you think about this draft? What do you think? What did you like? What happened? What didn't you like?
To be honest, I didn't really know that much other from 4 through 7, but the three main guys, Zion, Ja Morant, and RJ Barrett, that they were talking about drafting all those guys for those teams for the past months, past few months.
Since the lottery, last month.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with you. Ja Morant, I think, is going to be great on Memphis. I could totally see them, if they allow him to get control of the team and just be the leader of the team without any distractions or whatever, I could see them kind of taking the West almost by storm, similar to the way that the Atlanta Hawks did last year. Even though the Atlanta Hawks were record-wise one of the worst teams in the league, they came in and they became competitive. Trae Young was a stud.
Yeah, he was.
And he had,
for my fantasy team.
And he had John Collins, who I could see Jaren Jackson pretty much playing a similar role to what John Collins does, except he's probably a better three-point shooter than John Collins is.
Yeah.
So I really like that move for Memphis. And also, just to toot David Griffin's horn a little bit more, like this guy was, he's just going to give New Orleans the best possibility to succeed, no matter what. No matter what that means. If that means we're gonna try to make money for a big name free agent, we're gonna do that. If that means we're gonna try to move up in the draft and just try to, you know what, let's just get as many picks in the draft and maybe one of these guys hits. We're going to try to find a star for this team. And that's immediately what he came in and did. And, yeah, it takes a little bit of luck. But, you know, David Griffin, look at what he did even without getting a number one pick, you know.
I'm sorry, did you say you were going to toot his horn?
Toot his horn.
That's Tim in the background, by the way. Thanks, Tim.
The peanut gallery.
I agree with what you're saying, where Memphis definitely is a team that's going to be up and coming and competitive this year. I think Ja Morant is going to have a ton of turnovers. He's got to learn. He's got a lot to learn, but he's going to have the ball in his hand all the time. He's going to be able to make a bunch of highlight reel plays and get a lot better as the season goes on, similar to Trae Young last year, I think. I think it's a really good comparison that you just laid out. V, what do you think about this draft? What do you think?
Just basically a little bit about Zion. Thinking about what kind of NBA player he's going to become, he doesn't really dribble the ball too often, but he's great with the ball in his hands. And he can pass for a big man, but he's not necessarily a big man because he's only 6'6". So where he fits in the NBA grand scheme of things, or does he create his own category where he's so overly athletic that it's just like a freaking ninja playing basketball all of a sudden? He just can't catch this guy, can't do anything with this guy. And where is he going to get his buckets other than his inside game, his fast break game? I know he can shoot a little bit, but is that going to become an NBA consistent three-pointer? Like, Pau Gasol can shoot a little bit. So that's my main concern, just because he's so freakishly athletic and he was so good in college.
To kind of piggyback off of that, V, I was kind of wondering, what is Zion's ceiling going to be? You know, like, what kind of numbers do you think he can put up? And I'm thinking he can't exceed, like, a Blake Griffin. Because, like you said, he can't shoot, he can't dribble, he's not creating his own shots. You know, he's making points off turnovers or in transition. You know, those are buckets. Those are Iguodala buckets. But those aren't Michael Jordan buckets. You know, like, I'm not...
Transcending.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to change the game. I think he's just going to be an exciting part of the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see both of that happening, where he gets a lot of buckets in transition and gets the easy ones because he is a great defender.
Yeah,
I think he's an excellent help side defender and he has great instincts. But I think he's going to make like him and Giannis are going to make posting up going like very chic.
I guess the new kids.
Is that a proper word? You know,
kids will start posting up again. You know,
no, for real though. Is that Zion is The guy's 6'6", 280, and he just jumps out of the gym. Like
he's a bull.
Yeah. And I don't know how, if he gets on the block, there's no one in the NBA that can stop him.
I think they need to pair him with somebody like they paired LeBron James with D-Wade. Because D-Wade let LeBron be streaky, hit him in fast breaks, played defense with him. There was no shooting other than Mike Miller. Shout out Mike Miller. And I guess Chris Bosh and Shane Battier learned how to – Shane Battier knows how to shoot. But Chris Bosh learned how to shoot threes. So you need the floor to be spread, and you need this guy slashing. So either you're going to do something with a pick and roll with this guy, but he's only 6'6", but he's freakishly athletic. Or you pair him up with another guy who can take some of that pressure off, some of open up some of those lanes like, Jimmy or – I don't know who would really fit because I don't know if Jimmy – really likes playing with young guys, but somebody.
All right, yeah. Like, I don't see him as a Russell Westbrook who can just take an inbound, you know, or a rebound and just run the floor and dunk it, you know? Like,
he moves in the open court, though. That's one thing about him. Like, in Duke, he was all over fast breaks. And a lot of that had to do with defensive deflections. But, like, Russell Westbrook will ask for the ball and then take the ball all the way down the court and smash. Like, I don't know if I see that. Because Mike used to grab the ball. He would bounce it on the ground. He would open up his arms, tell everybody to get the fuck out of the way. And then he would just, give me that!
a lot of that is competition, too. You know, Kyrie Irving's not making that lazy pass that's getting picked off by Zion.
Okay. Maybe. I'd say Zion has a lot better defensive
instincts. He still is going to grow, too.
Yeah.
Like, strength-wise or lean-wise. Do you think he needs to lean down in order for his body to continue in the NBA?
Yes.
Or is he the freak?
I think he's a freak.
Freak?
I got to see if he is a freak. Even just, like, below expectations, the next thing I'm going to say, next season, the first thing I'm going to say is, yeah, he's going to have to slim down. You know, like, if he's not excellent in his body type, that's the first thing that's going to be said. Oh, he was too heavy.
I think he needs to slim down already.
Yeah.
That like, to me, he's too small. Even though he's 280, but he's only, what, 6'6"?
6'6".
Are you going to go small ball on that? Is he going to be the small forward?
Dude, like, if Barkley was 6'4".
I understand. And if Zion is Barkley, then he's in good shape, you know?
Yeah.
But if Zion is just all athleticism and limited skill, then that's not going to be good. That's not going to be
a... Skill is not limited, my friend.
What if I told you...
No, I get what we're all saying, though. If he's a Tyrus Thomas.
Yeah.
If he's a Tyrus Thomas, where he's super athletic.
Super athletic, jumps out the gym, you know, like he's freaking your own right, you know.
Pretty sure you mean Tyus Jones.
Nice. Did you have something?
Man, no.
No? Okay. Sorry.
I heard Tyus Jones, and I lost all train of thought.
Sorry.
I honestly think it's going to take Zion a little bit longer to come around than Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett has the most NBA body ready. NBA ready body.
NBA body ready, we got it.
You know,
yes.
For point guard. And then Ja Morant, I think, is the most skillful.
I don't think R.J. Barrett is going to be that good in the NBA. I know this is like, I liked him and he moves well. But this goes to my Wendell Carter argument. Kind of slow, unless you become Paul Pierce or Paul George. Kind of slow. Kind of doesn't have the best shot in the world. He can control a game in college. But he also has Zion on your team. Like, John Morant's different. John Morant's like a Chris Paul. Like, I'm going to come out the box and we're going to get into this. But RJ Barrett, do you have to, like, take time to find your niche? Is it going to take you a couple years? Do you have to travel the league before you find it? I don't know.
Okay, it's a good discussion. Garnet, do you have some? Okay, that should. Another trade that happened tonight that I want to discuss. Phoenix Suns trading down to Minnesota at the 11th pick, and then taking they traded for Dario Saric and the 11th pick. They traded out of the 6th spot, where they could have taken a point guard, which they badly have needed for a long time, and then they drafted Cameron Johnson out of North Carolina, who's 23 years old.
He's a good shooter, though.
But
they went for shooters with Dario and
the guy they drafted, Josh Jackson, and they have Mikal Bridges. And they're loading up on small forwards without taking point guards. And they finally took one when they traded back into the first round for Ty Jerome of Virginia, who won the national title.
Tyus Jones?
No, Ty Jerome. So
out of Virginia, yes.
Yeah, I found that very strange by the Suns. I don't know why they traded out of the sixth spot, John, for Dario Saric, and did not draft a point guard like Kobe White or Jared Culver was there.
I mean, the only possible reason why you would want to do that is because you know you're getting a pretty good point guard, you know, in free agency.
Okay.
Or via trade, via Houston.
Yeah. I really...
No, that's a bit of a conspiracy theory, but I think... Not CP3. Oh, C3PO. But definitely a free agent point guard. Sorry, John, your point.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with Garnick there. I think they're going to make a run for maybe D'Lo or Brogdon, throw cash. And, well, another way of thinking about this is maybe they just want Devin Booker to run it.
Clearly not. That hasn't worked.
Why would they trade down? It's very odd to me.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird trade too. What they got, it's an overload of small forwards and then Dario Saric and DeAndre Ayton.
Shooters surrounding DeAndre Ayton. They just need someone to get him the ball on the block and then facilitate from there.
I'm with Garnick on this. I think that they're confident that they're going to try to sign D'Angelo Russell or
somebody.
They're going to try to get someone.
What if they throw Max at D'Angelo Russell?
Otherwise, why would you even get like a Dario Saric? You know, like Dario Saric is like a good role player, somebody that you grab when you think you have like an okay starting team. Okay. And if you look at your squad with Devin Booker and you're confident that you're going to get D'Angelo Russell, then you have D'Angelo Russell, Devin Booker, exactly. DeAndre Ayton, Dario Saric, and then...
You don't look so bad in this West.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with what you're saying, but I don't know if they go D'Angelo Russell. I kind of liked John said Brogdon would probably be a much better fit.
Yeah, I'd agree there. I think Brogdon's super underrated.
I think Brogdon is overrated at this point. He's so underrated. He's overrated.
Not to try and turn a failing Phoenix franchise around. Brogdon is good if you want to put him like, I don't know, on the Bulls or something. But the Phoenix has never won, and they've always been garbage, and they've been worse. And they've been worse than the Bulls. You're not gonna bring Brogdon in there to do what? Like
Brogdon is at best a Sean Livingston.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you're... Okay.
We're speculating, obviously. When free agency hits, we'll dive more into that. But with the draft here tonight, a player that I really liked, Memphis trading up for in the 22nd pick, Brandon Clark out of Gonzaga, a very, very athletic guy. And pairing him with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson is going to be really interesting. Brandon Clark, a power forward kind of center at 6'8", but can still get up. And I think that's going to be a fun team to watch in Memphis this year, even though he'll probably back up Jonas Valanciunas. Did I say that right?
He's a free agent.
Is he unrestricted though?
Not sure. I think he's restricted.
Okay. V, you got some?
Just one thing about the Spurs draft. They had two picks. One guy was from Europe. He's going to be an all-star on the Spurs. And the second guy was Keldon Johnson. And when he got drafted, he was wearing one jacket. And then, I don't know, he took that jacket off and then reversed it and put on another white jacket or put on a new jacket. And you need two jackets when you get drafted now. So I'm liking that. So I'm feeling like the Spurs are going to be probably a 3 seed. Just getting it out there.
Just based on jackets. And your boy, the guy who got drafted last year on Spurs, what's his name?
Lonnie Walker.
Lonnie Walker with that hat.
Yeah, but Lonnie Walker let me down this year, man.
Unless he's a rookie, man. We can do
not be garbage.
Does anyone... Anything else about the draft, John? Anything you liked?
We're going to talk about the home team?
Yeah, I was like, we're going to talk about...
Fine, the Bulls drafted Kobe White. All right, that's it.
Kobe Eddie, you're so funny.
Out of North Carolina.
He's so good.
He's a freshman. He's 19 years old. Has tiny arms, I guess. That's kind of what I heard about him.
Tyson Chandler arms?
Just great hair.
Great hair.
But
solid hair.
It was a pick that I thought the Bulls had to make. I thought the Bulls were in a position, if there was no point guard available, that they were just going to trade down. But Kobe White was on the board. Darius Garland and Kobe White were available, or were the supposed guards that they wanted. And Kobe White was the guy who got taken. He's a very fast player. Can shoot a little bit. It seems like he can shoot a lot better than Chris Dunn can.
Better scorer than facilitator, better scorer than defender.
Yeah, when I saw his highlight package, I immediately got reminded of De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah,
kind of lengthy.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox was fast, though.
Well, so was White. White's fast.
White was pretty fast, and, you know, he's pretty lanky, and yeah, just the way that he scored, it just reminded me of De'Aaron Fox.
Okay. I don't think we're going to need the production out of him that, you know, they get out of De'Aaron Fox. I think, and do what Chris Dunn couldn't do for us, which was hit open shots.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're not open, you're not taking shots. Kobe White can hit contested shots, so that's already an upgrade. I think he's going to be able to do exactly what we need him to do, and that's feed the ball to Otto and Markkanen.
Okay. And Zach LaVine, don't forget about Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine doesn't need to be fed.
That's what I'm saying.
He takes. He's just going to take
him. He's going to get 30.
I'll take your cookie out.
He's taking 30.
I think that's going to be a battle, though. I don't think Dunn's going down without a fight in training camp. And I don't think so. Do you think the Bulls signed another point guard? What do you guys think? I mean, it's... I think they do.
Free
agency. I'm
coming home.
Derrick Rose.
Beverly?
No, not Derrick Rose.
Yeah, Beverly.
Beverly.
I like Beverly as a Bull. Go ahead, B.
As far as the Bulls signing another point guard, they definitely could, because Chris Dunn will fall to third on the depth chart and then essentially off the team.
Exactly, that's what you want.
As far as Kobe White goes, he's good with the ball, he's comfortable with the ball, and he moves at a different pace where he shields the ball, kind of like how James Harden attacks the basket and attacks defenders. He also has a step back. And
the step back is pretty solid.
And that's cool, but are you going to be a two or are you going to be a one? And if you're going to be a two like James Harden, are you going to be James Harden? Probably not. So with the 7 pick, though, the Bulls got put into a position where this was definitely the best choice for them to make.
It was the obvious choice.
So in that case, like, it's good to have him. But Garnick pre-show was even talking, I want a flashy point guard. And I kind of feel the same way. When you have a point guard who can handle the rock better than anything else, you can at least build on that in some shape or fashion. And his dribbling is... it's not suspect. It's good, but it definitely could be better.
And
when he attacks the basket, he has to finish over guys who are now going to be twice as athletic before. And he has kind of trouble getting to the basket and going over those dudes. We saw a whole highlight reel where he was just getting defended when he's going inside because he has no way to jump over them. He's not dunking on these dudes nasty. So I like the outlook of him as far as running the game. So if he could be a good floor general, a good teammate, and he's from North Carolina, which is always a plus. They'll listen. You just went under good coaching. So there's a lot to like about him, but there's a lot to work on.
True.
I'd have to agree 100% there. But at the pick, where they were, probably the best available player.
Yeah.
That's very fair to say. I think between him and the other point guard from Vanderbilt, Garland, those two were consensus top 7. They were not going to slip past 7. So based on that, I'm okay with the pick. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I like the pick. I wanted the Bulls to trade down, acquire more assets, because at this point, for next year's purposes, you can get a Patrick Beverley type and have a very sizable improvement. You can fight for that 8 spot, realistically. I think that was their best move, but at the same time, I can live with this. This guy does have potential. Going back to the Chris Dunn thing, I think they still sign a Patrick Beverley. I think you just bury him and see if he survives. If he does, great. That means he's got something. If he doesn't, you have another campaign on your hands.
Yeah, I guess another campaign. Tony, you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, to end that, Chris Dunn would just be another C.J. Watson. The guy that showed up, hit a couple threes, missed a couple threes.
Don't disrespect C.J. Watson.
I'm just saying, he was here, then he was gone.
Why are you going to talk about yourself like that, man?
SWAT team.
SWAT team all day. He did so much. No.
I wish they did what Garnick said, traded down and acquired assets, because at this point, like, Kobe White's nice, but we don't need him. We need a bench. We need somebody when those first 5 guys aren't on the floor. Like, who's our scorer? Who's our defender? Who do we have? Like, we have G League guys coming off the bench now, and that's not going to fly.
Right, and that's has to be addressed this offseason. one would hope that the Bulls' potential in the trade of Otto Porter last season gave free agents a reason to kind of come to Chicago, but we'll see what happens.
No, absolutely not. 100%.
I don't think so. I'm 100% agree with you.
How do Bulls keep acquiring players that have no friends? So Carlos Boozer, Otto Porter, freaking, I don't even know, Zach LaVine.
Laurie Markkanen.
How's Laurie Markkanen
that? All right, but here's what I'm saying. Everybody else in the NBA, it's like, hey, LeBron's going to freaking LA. Oh, yeah, LeBron, I played with him 6 times. I love that guy. Oh, what are you doing? Let me come to your team. Oh, somebody else is getting Kemba. Walker's moving out. Kemba, what's up?
That's not true, actually.
Maybe not Kemba.
No, Zach LaVine recruited Jabari.
He did.
He did. The only other guy who has no friends in Bulls history.
Well, that's a big factor in the fact that they won't be able to improve through free agency by much. They'll only get role players at best. They will not even attempt to sign a marquee free agent,
No. Even
the C-list.
And they shouldn't. They really shouldn't. I think they're in a position
I'm not talking about reality. I'm talking about fantasy here. Like, it's such a shame that we can't even try. But yeah, in real life, yeah, it's not even an option.
Oh, and I think that you have two players, Markin and Carter, that are on rookie contracts that you want to be the face of your franchise going forward. You have a player in LaVine who you're already paying, and you're not going to find a replacement for him right now. And then same with Porter. They're hamstrung by their starting lineup. The only position that they could sign somebody is point guard. And it's kind of, no one's going to want to come here that's a marquee free agent. And that's fair. Could be.
Oh, my last thing on this is they were comparing Kobe White to our boy Gilbert Arenas.
Yup, that's what's up.
If that's what happens, I take back everything I've ever said, and I'm sorry to Bulls management, and I'm sorry to everybody. Oh, man.
Shooter's going to shoot.
Yo, shoot. Gonna shoot. Doesn't even matter if I'm on the court.
in Los Angeles, this past week, the LA Lakers acquired Anthony Davis for number 4 overall pick tonight. Yep. Number four overall pick, a protected pick in 2020, top 8 protected, and then several options to swap picks going forward. And they also acquired Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart. A pretty decent
return
for Anthony Davis. Even though they didn't get an elite type of prospect, I think the draft assets that they got are just massive.
And they got a ton of flyers and some dudes that might pan out.
Yeah, we're still on their rookie contracts, and they're not financially hindered by them. So it's a free roll.
You know, I like this is by no means the same type of talent we're talking about, but I like how New Orleans invested in their medical team enough to greenlight Brandon Ingram being part of this trade. That means they think they can get him to a point where he's playing in the league again, because, correct me if I'm wrong, he has basically the Chris Bosh, does he not?
Yeah. He does.
He does, but
he's been recovering well.
Yeah, that's kind of been the deal, and he might be responding to medication better than Chris Bosh's body did, where Bosh kept getting blood clots.
Well, going back to the Kawhi thing, I mean, Toronto acquired him because they had, they had full confidence that their medical team would get enough out of him to first entice him to stay and second get a good year out of him, and clearly they did. In this case, you're not talking about muscles. You're not talking about like a conventional basketball injury.
Right.
You're literally like talking about some medical shit. You know,
well, yeah, because I don't think the Spurs thing was a medical thing. I think Kawhi was fine. I think somebody's feelings were hurt.
Well, regardless, I don't want to talk about the Kawhi trade, but I see your point. My point is, at this point, NBA teams are so sophisticated that they have like heart surgeons, basically, that they trust or whatever.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
That's kind of bizarre, but okay.
Well, it's kind of how they have to run it, though. These players they don't know what's going to happen to all these guys, and that's the most important part of their entire franchise. I think that the Pelicans, it's going to be close to see. You can't really tell who won the trade right now, because if the Lakers get another superstar, which they viably could, even though they're having salary cap issues, which is hilarious, then the Lakers can win a championship with Anthony Davis. I mean, it's completely feasible. If you have three studs on your team like that, they can win a championship. But the long term ramifications, the Pelicans are I think the clear winners in this trade. I mean, acquiring so many draft assets and then two players, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, the solid pieces, and just, like John said, still on rookie contracts.
I don't see LA as contenders. They're going to sell some tickets.
Thank you.
Chicago Bulls.
Thank you. That's a very, very valid point. They're not at all contenders. If that's how you're going to run a franchise, you're about to spend money on a third guy and be out of cap space. Good job. You're done.
I think this is all backwards. They're not going to spend money on a third guy. You don't need a third guy. You have Anthony Davis and LeBron. LeBron by himself carried two franchises, essentially one Cavs team before, a Miami team, and then a second Cavs team to the finals.
Miami team by himself stop.
Whoa. Okay, so he didn't carry the Miami team, but they went up against the best Spurs team of all time twice and barely pulled it out.
He had a prime D Wade and a prime Chris Bosh.
Okay, he's going to have
I would go there, actually.
D-Wade.
I would go there. My D-Wade, deficiencies with LeBron at this point.
Yeah,
yes.
They still need to sign a D-Wade.
All right, so but anyway, that's besides the point. You put those two on a basketball floor, and you've hired the pizza guy, the guy who's handing out tickets in the third row, and, like, schoolgirl playing hopscotch, and you're going to make it to the finals. The West is terrible this year. The West is injured this year. The West is in turmoil with where their teams and now these moves this year. New Orleans could freaking make the playoffs with losing everything they have at this point in the West this year. So this year, the Lakers have LeBron. And LeBron blew through the East because the East was in shambles. Because the East didn't know what was going on. And now the same thing is going on in the West. And I know Golden State's going to be there. But he's got a running mate now. And you don't need a lot for those guys to... You need to find pieces that fit. And who doesn't want to go play? Why get a third guy when you can get people on Vets Min that just want fucking championships right now?
True.
Right.
Vets Min is 5 mil, bud. That's the problem.
Okay, somebody else.
You have 23 mil.
Yo, make it happen.
I agree with V on that last part. I do think that they should use their money to sign some of these lesser name guys. I think they need more shooters.
Yes.
They need more shooters, and here's where I disagree with you. I don't think their success is based off of LeBron and Anthony Davis. This is all going to come down to the coaching, as it did with last year. Luke Walton was garbage as a coach.
The bloodline?
You know, and they figured that that was the problem, so they got rid of Luke Walton. And for whatever other bogus problems they were saying that there were. Okay, but this is going to come down to coaching. And how did Frank Vogel have the most success on his Pacer teams those 2 years? I think it was 2012, 2013, and 2013, 2014. His offense was run ISO for Paul George, and then if he misses it, you guys have to board up, you guys have to go to work, you have to bang down low. That's what you're gonna have to do in order to win games, and that's what they did. And we're gonna have to play really, really good defense. LeBron's not good at defense. Anthony Davis, yeah, he's one of the best defenders in the league, but who else is gonna back him up? You gotta hire these
Tyson Chandler, that's
hard hat, lunch pail guys. You know, go after a Thaddeus Young. Go after an Al-Farouq Aminu. Go, you know, these guys will bang down low. They'll give you maximum effort, and that's what you need. LeBron's not as gifted as Paul George offensively, and especially now. So you're not going to be able to put LeBron in ISO situations like how you did with Paul George and have the same success that they had on the Pacers. You're just not.
I don't know. Hopefully this is just the beginning. And, you know, this is a marketing package from L.A. Like, look, we got LeBron and Anthony Davis. Who wants to come here? Who wants to win? And maybe they get, you know, four or five guys to help them out.
No, but they're not fooling anybody. We don't believe you. You need more people, dude. Like, come on.
But the ineptitude of not clearing as much cap space as you can, that's going to do them in this year.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Someone had to say it. Come on. That's bizarre what they did.
I LeBron has never had anybody in the paint that can guard the hoop as well as Anthony Davis on his team. LeBron has always had to be the rim protector on the backside of help. So now it's going to free him in the paint to steal the ball and do things that are going to be defensively he struggled with last year.
But he's 35, though.
Yeah, but he keeps his body in great shape.
Ah, there's the caveat. He got hurt for the first time in his career last year, and that's kind of what you... I mean, we're not assuming injuries are going to happen here. But if you're 34, you got a major groin injury just happened in the past year. If his body starts to break down, that's where the Lakers might be in trouble. What could happen? It's very feasible because he's older.
Yeah, groin, and it could be a hamstring.
Yeah, I hope not. But
soreness, it could be a whole litany of problems.
Even if he's healthy, if they don't decide on how they want to play, they're not gonna make the playoffs, dude. With the roster that they have now. If they can't decide that, then two things either have to happen. Kyle Kuzma has to become the new Dwayne Wade.
Yup.
Or Anthony Davis has to be the most dominant player since Shaq.
Both are going
to happen. Those are going to be the only ways that the Lakers are going to be able to succeed if they don't sign more people. And if they don't come up with a plan to, do we want to play fast? Because Frank Vogel doesn't play fast. What, and the Pacers, that they were really good, they were... almost one of the worst in the league in pace.
Well, you look at when LeBron's had success in his career, his teams have played great defense.
V, can you tell me who's going to sign for them for the veterans minimum right now?
I do not know. Right now, I couldn't tell you.
No, but who are the potential candidates even? There isn't that many that you would want.
Well, even that's minimum.
J.J. Redick, Danny Redick. Green, Nikola
Mirotic. Veterans minimum. Are you kidding me?
Terrence Ross, Al Farouq Aminu.
None of them are getting the minimum.
But you don't even need, say, a vet. You could just get a young guy who's on a smaller contract. You need bodies right now. With Kyle Kuzma and whoever you can, I'm telling you.
Are you talking about like the Jahlil Okafor types?
Sure.
Just grab some dudes out of the G League that can fucking.
Is there a guy at the YMCA who's hooping right now?
No, man, you lost me completely now.
I don't know. I think you have too much faith in those two guys.
Yo, watch. Stop. Don't believe me. Just watch. All
right, man. All right. Anyone got anything else about this trade? This is a blockbuster deal. It's not official yet, though. July 6th is when it can be official. Be good.
Just one last thing. None of this matters because Kawhi's going to win next year, so.
On the last episode, you said the Lakers are going
to win. Yeah, I know, but I'm just changing it now. I'm flip-flopping. Flip-flopping.
Such a flip. All right, there were other things that happened in the NBA this week.
No way. Like what?
Al Horford opted out of his contract.
No way.
I think that was a Hall of Famer Al Horford.
Non-Hall of Famer Al Horford.
Definitely not.
There was apparently
13 points and 7 rebounds a game, Al Horford.
Yeah, nice way not to end your career, Al Horford.
Apparently, Chris Paul and James Harden are beefing, although that's dumb. I don't want to talk about that. What else has happened this week? Kyrie's rumored to be. I mean, a bunch of rumors, a bunch of speculation.
He ghosted the Celtics. Thank you very much.
Who does? Chris Paul?
No, Kyrie. He like unfollowed them.
Oh, he did. Yeah, that's right.
And usually,
that's a big deal.
He's already signed. Somebody else.
We talk about the Mike Conley trade.
That's right. The Mike Conley trade. That was the one I was reading about. Mike Conley going from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Utah Jazz. I think that is a super underrated trade because Mike Conley is like a perfect fit. Garnett's called it forever, haven't you? You called this Mike Conley trade for a long time.
Well, this was discussed for a long time. They went back to last year's trade deadline, even slightly before that. That was on the table, and for some reason, Jazz didn't go through with it. I would imagine it's because, you know, Grizzlies wanted more draft picks. I don't know who ultimately relented at this venture, but someone did, and this trade happened. I would imagine it's the Grizzlies just because they lost their leverage on draft day because everyone knew that they were drafting Morant.
Right.
So, having said that, the Jazz got a lot better. They have a very formidable backcourt. I think Donovan Mitchell improves the most. Or he wins the most as a result of this trade. He has a very capable, very good point guard, although he's never been an all-star until last year, right?
He was not an all-star last year, Mitchell.
Oh,
no.
Never mind. No, not Mitchell.
Conley was not, no.
Okay, so he still hasn't been...
Still has not been an all-star his whole career.
Wow, that's remarkable. He's that just tells you about the depth.
Yeah.
He's really good, just stuck on bad team.
Well, it's just kind of, he's just had this underrated.
Kemba's been an all-star, though.
Yeah, Kemba was an all-star, I think, last year, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, but it's kind of the same thing, though. Because like, it is a bad point guard, or a good point guard on a bad team.
No, but at least he had a peak. He was good for a while.
There was. They did make the playoffs with Marc Gasol and Tony Allen. Shout out Tony Allen.
That's my boy.
They made it.
Yeah, Kemba made the playoffs once. That you can't compare those two then.
Yeah, but the franchise in Charlotte, just Michael Jordan doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I understand that, but still, you can't compare him based on that.
All right.
The Mike Conley trade, though, it was Grayson Allen, Jay Crowder, and
Kyle Korver
going to Memphis. For Memphis, it's kind of just spare parts, really.
Kyle Korver is a trade asset at the trade deadline.
Jay Crowder could be a guy who kind of allows them to a good veteran presence, just kind of a guy, a body. But other than that, for Memphis, it was kind of just shedding Conley's contract and grooming the spot for John Morant. But in Utah's case, they get a lot better. Is Utah a threat for a finals appearance now with Mike Conley on the roster over Ricky Rubio?
Yes.
Why?
Not only because he's an upgrade from Ricky Rubio and he's going to be Donovan Mitchell's new teammate, but mainly because he's going to be a very good mentor for Donovan Mitchell. And coming in there, Mitchell now has somebody that he can learn from. He has somebody that he can ask about. Damn, that threw me off. He has another guy who you can trust. You know, like when you're on a team, yo, V, I'm not feeling it today, bro. Man, all right, come on, we got this. Yo, I got you. We're gonna get this. You know, like. And
a leader for sure.
Yeah, he has a leader, somebody who could show him how to lead and show him how to make the right plays at the right times.
Proven finisher.
And now, instead of Donovan Mitchell being the number one option, solely. Joe Ingles was a far number two. There's some people that won't even say Joe Ingles is the number two,
Pascal Siakam was the number two.
Yep.
Remember that, Eddie?
So now instead of you having Joe Ingles, who's going to try to make the play when Donovan Mitchell is getting double teamed, you have another guy who's just as offensively gifted as either of those guys.
A much better shooter than Ricky Rubio ever was.
Yes.
That, I think, is the key, is that defenses would sag off Rubio and force Ingles to shoot, which he's a good shooter, but still.
And when Mitchell and Ingles doesn't have the shot and you have to kick it back to Rubio, now you're like, dang, why is this guy getting the ball? Oh, Ingles to Mitchell. Mitchell to Rubio.
It's not a fun time, boys.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they have a very good young core, in my opinion. Obviously, Conley's not young. No one would call him that. But to have, like, a leadership-type person to come in who's been there, who's done that, he hasn't made the finals or he hasn't really been all that super successful, but nonetheless, he's been around. I think that brings a lot to this team. And 1-3, they're as strong as anyone in the NBA right now.
You could say 1-5. You really could with Gobert and Favors.
He's way more experienced than Ricky Rubio.
Gobert is in the top two.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you can't listen to, Donovan Mitchell has only been in the league 2 years, going on three. And if you can't listen to him or he needs somebody to give him some guidance, we're going to look to Ricky Rubio, who hasn't really done anything your whole career. Those things make a difference. People are looking for somebody to like step up and show them like what to do. And then if you just have two guys who've never really been there before, how are you going to follow that?
Well said. Good point, man. That was your spot on, for real. That was good. Conley does come into a situation where Utah, coming off that first round loss to Houston. Houston's kind of been the antithesis for Utah this entire time. They've beaten the last two straight playoffs. I do think Conley, though, can be a kind of difference maker as a not just an offensive production, but a defender. I think this is going to be one of the toughest defensive teams in the entire NBA next year. Rubio, he's past his prime defensively. He just goes for steals and plays behind James Harden. I think Conley's going to
play a lot. Like, only goes for steals.
Yeah. Rubio was so bad.
Forget the defense. Let me get the steal.
Does Rubio come back?
Does Rubio come back for the Jazz?
He's relying on his teammates.
I don't think Rubio comes back for the Jazz. At a bench role? No. He's coming off the bench. Conley's a starter for sure.
Yeah. Apparently he already said goodbye on his Instagram.
Who, Rubio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I guess, but...
He's a free agent, is he not?
Yeah.
So what's wrong with that?
But Conley's a total upgrade, so... You can't blame Utah for making this move.
Of course,
you got to.
Maybe he goes to Phoenix.
This is a bad move because they offended Ricky Rubio.
You think?
No.
I think Utah is a finals contender right now with Golden State out. I think they are in the top three in the West right now, I'd say, for sure. I think they're at least a three seed right now, if not a two. I think Houston could be a one probably next year.
The only thing that bothers me is their bench. Their bench isn't as good.
They did get weaker on their bench after this trade, for sure. No Korver, no Crowder.
After Derek Favors, you have no like power forward. Yeah, who's your small forwards?
Royce O'Neal.
You know, like, what?
Yeah.
Who are you?
As far as them being a finals contender, I still don't see it. I love the Jazz. Man, Joe Ingles, but LeBron, Houston's going to have a reemergence next year now that they're going to get rid of some of the crap, and it's just going to be James Harden doing James Harden things. It's just going to free him up emotionally, which I feel like that's when he plays his best ball. You guys are saying Warriors done, but Steph Curry is going to carry a regular season as long as he stays healthy. And if he doesn't, then they're in trouble.
No one cares about the regular season, man.
But like, you're going to have those three, and then you're going to get Klay Thompson back in the finals or in the playoffs or perhaps. And we'll see what happens with KD. But they're still going to be around. And dare I say it? The Thunder are going to be back next year.
Finals contender?
We said finals contender. Yeah, true. That's what I was getting with
this. I was thinking like conference finals, maybe. You know, like they'll definitely do some work. I don't know about finals.
Like, is Mike Conley's a lot? Like, Mike Conley's good, but is he that good? And we rolled Mike Conley. We loved Memphis. And he's very good on the floor. He's a floor performer and tries his hardest and he performs best. But is he better than like Russell a James Westbrook. Harden, Russell Westbrook? A LeBron, like a Damian Lillard.
You're looking at individual matches.
Right. But as a team.
Look at the team. Dude.
Thank you.
They just upgraded massively over Rubio. Rubio was terrible.
They upgraded massively, but is that still an upgrade overall? Yes, it's an upgrade overall, but does it put them past these people? Like, these other teams.
They already were the three seed last year.
The other teams have no pieces.
They were the four seed.
Four seed at 50 wins. Yeah. And they had a crappy Rubio who... He shot like 32%, dude. Like, ugh, that was awful. And the playoffs, he was worse. Like, so, man, having a reliable guy like Conley, that makes a huge difference, dude. I think that definitely puts him over the edge.
Finals, though.
It depends who they play.
Outside of Denver, they have the deepest team that's a presumed contender. So I think you guys are understating that, and I'll take this version of Utah over current version of Denver any day. Houston, no bench. Trevor Ariza, we criticized them all year. You guys did, I didn't, but whatever. I'm not splitting hairs here. Obviously, the Lakers literally have five people on their roster, and they're trying to get rid of two more right now.
Yo,
so
Ron's playing 48, so...
At 35. He's going to be playing 48 until he's 48. So that's not going to do anything for the Lakers. I don't see them as emerging as contenders with no bench, because there's no possible way you can build a bench if you have Rob Pelinka as your GM right now.
Yep.
Warriors, they've never really had a bench. This year, Kevon Looney had to come back to like be their Willis Reed. That speaks volumes. Three of their best players are injured, arguably. It's obviously kind of a shit show there, but they're all going to sit out the whole year. If you're the Warriors, after what happened in the finals, you're not letting them come back this year. So, Warriors are not in the conversation at all. You guys need to forget about that. What? Clippers, if they get Kawhi, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what's up. Okay, see? Okay, that was going to be my final thought, but I'm pretty sure Raul's going to beat me to it. Where are you? What's going on? Where have you been?
Nah.
Sam Presti.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sempresti, what are you doing? Like, this is the time to strike. This is what you do.
I really thought that they were going to be more active.
Yeah, they should have been more active.
They're not doing anything.
Ultimately, the Jazz, best team in the West right now.
All right. I think I kind of agree with Garnet. Considering what has gone down in the West, I think Utah looks at it as, this is probably our best shot at the title. So, let's go. And while these super teams are in the making, and while Golden State is resting their players, they'd probably tank if they could. Personally, I think this is a good chance for Utah or Denver to make a run at the title while these guys are down.
Or Portland. I'm actually bullish on Portland now. I hated them forever. They kind of changed my view on them. They were the
one more. You know, they were. I didn't even mention them because they. I thought they were turning it around, but then they.
They did. They leads against the Warriors in three of those games.
That's great, but they lost all of them.
Yeah. But they still need Nurkic. Like.
Yeah, they're missing.
Yeah, but something bad is gonna happen again.
True. True.
We'll see. We'll leave the free agency talk more to next week. But I think the Conley trade was definitely a big win for Utah, and they got a lot better going forward.
I like it for Memphis, too. I could see Memphis.
And Memphis freeing up that spot for John Morant and contract.
Dude, Jaren Jackson was really good last year. Like, really good before he got injured.
Yeah.
And now you just gave him all the minutes in the world, all the space in the world to do what he does, and you pair him up with a dynamic guy like John Morant, who's they could grow together, and man, they could do so much. They could do so much on the floor offensively.
Yeah, it's gonna be an exciting team to watch in Memphis. I think those fans should be really excited for their team. Let's go to final thoughts now. Did you want to talk about your final thought
there? Well, the reason why I just dropped it is because I have an interesting question.
Go ahead, man.
God.
Sorry, I promised last week I won't say it again, but I kind of have a good question that I find it intriguing as well.
Ooh, intriguing question.
Intriguing question.
I like this segment.
All right. Who has a better young core? The Jazz or the 76ers?
The Jazz or the 76ers, everybody. Since Garnet doesn't like speaking proper English.
And by that I mean Mitchell and Gobert. I think he's still fairly young enough to call him part of a young core.
Yes. Or Embiid and Simmons? That's a great question. That's a very.
Is that an intriguing question, though?
It's an intriguing question. A new segment, intriguing question. I'm going to say, that's tough. I could see the Jazz actually having a better young core. I mean, everyone's so high on Ben Simmons, and 2 years in, the guy hasn't hit a three in his entire NBA career. Embiid has proven in spurts to be excellent, but he has not been consistent throughout his whole career. And then conditioning issues and getting sick in the playoffs, it's ridiculous. It should be having an NBA-type player. You could argue that the 76ers have more potential, but as of right now, I take the Jazz.
I agree with you. You said Embiid with the injuries. Ben Simmons should be playing power forward.
Come on, dude.
Come on. Yeah, he can't shoot at all.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to. He's afraid of it. We'll see what happens. Crazier things have happened. Russell Westbrook could have a three-point shot next year.
Yeah, maybe. Or else what?
Yeah.
What do you think, John?
Right now, I'm going to give it to Utah. Battle-tested. They face more fiercer competition, and got to see a lot more out of Simmons and Embiid. Not impressed right now.
Anybody?
Well, no, I'm gonna say Philly, just for the simple fact that I know Joel Embiid has had his problems, and it's not about Ben Simmons. It really comes down to, do I think Donovan Mitchell is better than Joel Embiid? And right now, I think Donovan Mitchell is better than Joel Embiid, but Joel Embiid's potential to take a team through the East, I believe, is greater than what Donovan can do for the Jazz in the West. And that's, I know you guys are high on the Jazz right now. Now, for sure, I feel that. I like the team. But if if Miami, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals this year, Philadelphia? No, the semifinals.
The shot by Kawhi.
So, and it took that shot by Kawhi from them not advancing more. So I feel...
Right, game seven.
If they go through there, then they already have done more than Donovan Mitchell has. And they're the same age and it's the same thing. So I'm going to give it to Embiid just based on the fact that he can do more in a game when he's on.
Okay. Bro?
If we're talking about right now, I'll take the Jazz, just because of what happened. You know, if we're going to judge it on this year, I think Mitchell's just going to take a huge stride in his career, and consequently Gobert is too, you know. So if we're talking about right now and immediately near future, I'm definitely going the Jazz. But man, if Joel Embiid ever like...
pans out.
Yeah, if he just stays healthy, if this guy just stays healthy, if Ben Simmons just even goes 70% to his full potential, you know, they're going to be a way better duo than Gobert and Mitchell.
Okay. All right. Good question, Greg. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it, bud.
Who's got another final thought? Anybody? Anybody?
You got one, Eddie?
I always have thoughts about Zach LaVine, but I'm not going to make it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm very glad that the Bulls didn't trade Zach LaVine. As my friends...
get traded this season.
He could still get traded.
I don't think the Bulls are going
to... dodging a couple bullets, though.
I don't think the Bulls are going to get any free agents, actually. That's my final thought. I've said it many times on the show, where I just think their reputation around the league is terrible. I don't think anybody's coming. Even Beverly. Beverly says he loves Chicago, but then he's gonna see when they meet Scar Foreman and John Paxson. I'm good. I'm good off here. I just think the Bulls' reputation is tarnished. They're gonna have a bunch of G Leaguers on their bench next year. Sorry, Tony. Sorry, man. Sorry to disappoint you.
Walt Lemon,
baby. Let's go. Anyone got anything else?
All right, I got you. One.
You're like a dream come true.
Nice.
You're not going to do the rest?
No, I'm not going to do the rest. No, you just get a little taste. You have to pay for the rest.
All right, one. As soon as the Raptors won, I said LA would win the title next year before the Anthony Davis trade. And I fully think it's
going
to happen.
He's going on podcast saying.
But.
Number two, I'm really interested to see what happens with the Dallas Mavericks this year.
Just want to be with you.
Doncic, Porzingis. Cuban, I want to know what's going on. It's about time Porzingis comes back.
Dirk, he's still going to be around a little bit.
Has he retired yet?
He's going to be the shooting coach.
Don't forget they have Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah, and
that's
I'm
crazy.
It looks good when I look at it, and I look interested. It looks interesting when I look at it. But
what if you look back at it?
put a fat rabbit on the Craftmatic. But I want to see what goes on, because I really want to see what Porzingis becomes, if anything. It was freakish to watch him in New York, and then all of that died down, and now he's getting fights in Croatia and getting his ass beat on a corner.
Lithuania, thanks.
Yo, but still, Porzingis, you're 7 foot. How does anybody punch you in the face? I don't understand what happened. I hope it was like some jumping, but if he had a one-on-one scrap with someone and he lost to a smaller dude, I don't know if you could even play in the
dude,
NBA.
He totally got big poppied. I think someone just ran up on him and sucker punched him.
Shout out Big Poppy.
Shout out Big Poppy. I'm surviving it, man. It's crazy.
Shout out Nipsey Hussle. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, man.
Love
it. All
right.
Anyone got anything else?
Rest in peace.
Yeah, I actually liked the Kobe White draft. I actually wanted him for a long time. And I got him.
Nice.
John has a Lamborghini and an erection right now.
Yes, he does.
But I'm actually optimistic at what they're doing right now in Chicago. With Kobe White, I think they give him roles, especially Zach LaVine. They play within a structure, and everybody's going to be playing within a structure, but trying to play as themselves. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what... With how Boylan managed the team last year, cool. I think he did a good job. But his coaching sucks. But I think the players like him, so give him that. Raul, Oblak, got anything? We end the show.
I just want to say that I think the Pelicans and the Grizzlies are going to make the playoffs next year.
Oh, wow.
I agree with the Pelicans.
All right, the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool with the Pelicans. I can't. Yeah, ride with you on the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yep.
Which is weird.
So yeah, which is weird. Yeah, you love the Grizzlies. Yeah. Raul loves them now. So like, what's going on?
I like the fact that they got a lightly protected 2022 pick out of Jazz when both Mitchell and Gobert might bail. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But they're not built for this year. Kyle Korver is a walking between 26 and 30 overall pick. Because that's what he's going to net for them once they trade him at the deadline. Jay Crowder, pretty much the same thing. Possibly a high second rounder. Awesome trade assets. That's what they got in this trade. And Grayson Allen, dirty. So love dirty. It. Perfect for Memphis.
Yep. Yep.
I think they keep Grayson Allen and Jay Crowder. And, yeah, maybe they try to move Kyle Korver or whatever. But even if he stays, I think that's a good thing, you know, to have those kind of shooters and to have those kind of players on that young Memphis team. I wouldn't be in such a hurry to trade them. I would like to have them around and try to show these guys how to be professionals.
Yeah.
And how to play the game. And then with that being said, I think there's going to be enough chemistry there. And, you know, Grayson Allen's a pretty good shooter, dude. Like, if who knows, maybe if you give him enough time, enough tick.
All right. I guess that would be my final thought. Where are all the shooters at? You know, like...
Great question.
Why does Kyle Korver still have to play? You know, why is J.J. Redick the next name? Is there no one else? Can no one shoot anymore, yo?
No, not like those two, man.
Yeah, not like those guys. No, you got the Bojans. Which one?
Who won the three-point contest last year?
Oh, Joe Harris.
Joe Harris.
Yeah.
Jumping Joe, baby.
Alright, thank you for joining us tonight on Contested Layups. Remember, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, and Facebook.
Don't forget to check us out on YouTube by typing Contested Layups episodes for full episodes.
And remember, I'm here if you need to talk.
He's here if you need to talk, everybody. Thank you. Have a great rest of your week.
Hasta luego.
Anthony Davis, Paperboy. Sports.